You all have a Bible sitting there in the chair beside you. What if you identify it east, west, whatever, would you say it's an eastern book, western book, what? Eastern book, okay. It was written by people living in the Middle East. A lot of people think of the Bible as an American book because America's history came with a strong push of Christianity. And the Bible, of course, is the Christian book. But this morning, I want to show you some things using the Chinese language. I won't use this. I'm getting it out of the way. So, 现在看得见啊? Yeah. Okay? Sometimes you may not understand my English because it's Chinese. Okay? And some of you don't speak Chinese, so it may sound kind of strange. Using the Chinese language, I want to show you how the early history in the Bible is written in the Chinese language. Now, you may not think that's possible, but we'll get started and I'll show you what I mean. In your Bible, if you just open it up to the first chapter, it's in the book of Genesis. Genesis means beginning. It's a good place to have the first book, isn't it? The book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 2. This is talking about how the earth began. And it says in verse 2 of chapter 1 of Genesis, this should be on page 1. Okay? The earth was without form, and it was void, that it was empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's chapter 1, verse 2. That I'm reading here from the King James. They're different English translations, so the wording may be a little bit different, but the meaning is the same. One thing to notice there, the Spirit of God. Okay? If you look at the blackboard up here, can you still hear me okay? All right? Good. The word for Spirit is that right? Chabado, huh? It's about like this. Notice the parts. First of all, one horizontal line, heaven. It says the Spirit of God was over the water. Over. Over what? The water. Who was over the water? Yosangako, why 3 mouths? This is a mouth for those of you that don't recognize it. A mouth represents what? Person. Why 3 mouths? Because the God we worship is 3 persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So you have 3 mouths. And he is what? Able to do chi-chi-guai-guai-di shi-ching, huh? He's able to do strange things, miracle things, magic. Ooh. And all of this together represents the Spirit. Follow? If you have a question, raise your hand. Okay? No question, huh? Oh, you have a question. I'll talk to you later, John. The next one, chapter 2, verse 7. Now it really gets interesting. Chapter 2, verse 7. It says, you just go over about one page and you should have it. Chapter 2 and verse 7. The Lord God formed man out of what? Dust. What happens when the body dies? It goes right back to the dust. If you want to know what a man is made of, get some dust and examine it. Okay? He formed him out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils, his pizza, the breath of life, man became a living soul. Okay? We have a word like this. What does that mean? To create, right? 创造. But notice how it's made. To earth. Mouth, breathing, became alive, able to talk, go. And Zhuzhipang, able to walk. The first man was not a baby. The first man could walk as soon as he was created. Right? Very simple. No conflict between Chinese history and the Bible. Okay? Another one. Verse 18, still in chapter 2. The Lord God said, it is not good, this is verse 18, Sabajie, not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him, that is right for him. It's not good for the man to be alone. So first there was a man created, and you could say he is Mr. Xianxiang. When you have fufu liang, a couple, like Mike and Judy Krause, which one is this? The husband, yes. Only if Judy is a professor or a medical doctor, then she could be called sensei, right? All right? Now, notice what it says here. This is what? First. Firstborn. Yes. So, the first man was taken from the earth. Here's his legs. And of course, he became living. So the first man was taken from the earth. No other man has been taken from the earth, only the first one. So when you see this, you see the earth and the man living, only the first man. And of course, when you introduce the couple, it's the man. God says, that's okay, but it's not the best yet. So he made a special person for him. Now we go to chapter 2, verses 21 down through 23. Chapter 2, verses 21 down through 23. It says, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he, that is God, took one of his, that is Adam's, ribs, and closed up the flesh instead. Verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her to the man. Now notice the man's reaction. He has never seen a woman before. If you ask him, what is a woman? I don't know. Because there never was one before this. So for the first time, ta-da, he sees this woman. Look what he says. Verse 23. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. He called her woman and said she was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So, we have the word flesh. Notice how it's made. You have an enclosure and someone coming in, reaching in and taking out what? Taking out a person. This is the word for man. Okay? Some people write it this way. Okay, good. See, university students. Very smart. Wrong. You go in and you take out a person. Amazing, huh? Isn't that what it says? That's why she is called flesh of my flesh, because she came out of man. Okay? Now that we have two people, we have a beginning. And one word for beginning is like January is the first month, right? Yuan, yeah, huh? Okay? First month. What do we have? Two people. Two people, huh? Very clear. So the word, one of the words for beginning in Chinese says two people. Very simple. Very clear. Still going along just exactly with what the Bible says. After this, of course, then we have a lot of things that involve two people. We have two people sitting on the ground talking, huh? Two. We have a lot of words that have two people. These are various Chinese words and two people. Shuangren, huh? Why two? Why not just one? Or why not three or five or ten? Just two. Sometimes, of course, you do have just one, like, for example, with that. Just one, but so many words that use two. And it still fits with what the Bible says. All right, the next one. In verse 9 of chapter 2, it says, out of the ground the Lord caused every kind of tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food to grow. Then he says, the tree of life also in the middle of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two trees in the middle. So we'll put two trees up here. Two trees. One of these is one tree. So you put two together, you've got two trees. The tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But something else here. Go down to verse 16 of chapter 2. Still in the same chapter, verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely. But, verse 17, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day you eat, you will die. All kinds of trees in the garden. God says, help yourself. You know, anything you want, just pick it off the tree and eat it, except for one tree. And with this tree, he says, no. What does this mean? Forbid, huh? Yeah. This represents the left side of the character for God. These two parts are the same. So here's God telling man, of these two trees, don't eat the fruit from this one. Still together, right? Chinese history, Bible history. Same, huh? Amazing, huh? By the way, when was the Chinese language written? When was it first developed? Not last year. Changjie, yes, but 就是皇帝的一个佣人，是不是？ Yeah, the it was about 2500 BC. Approximately. Well, when was the Bible written? The Bible didn't begin to be written until 1,000 years or more after that. So before the Bible was even first written, the first part of it, the Chinese language was already developed. So there was, here's a good English word for you, there was no collusion. I don't mean a running together, but there was no working together. It was impossible. I'll tell you how they got the same in a little bit. Okay? They're told, don't eat this fruit. Now we go down to chapter 3. Going to move down to chapter 3, and some problems come. Chapter 3, verse 1. Still in Genesis. It says, now the serpent, which is another word for snake. You know what a snake is? Okay. Was more subtle, more tricky than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? One of the names for Satan is written like this. Right? That's Mogwai. Now, notice the first part. There's a cover. Because when Satan works, he doesn't like to work openly. He likes to work sneaky, you know? And he's covered, and he's hiding where? Among the trees. Who is hiding there? Ah! This is who is hiding there. Wait. He's hiding among the trees. And so the woman is waiting for the bus. No, there were no buses then. She's standing around, and suddenly, here comes Sneaky. And he begins to get her attention and draw her attention to the one thing she was not supposed to eat. Okay? Go down to verse 6. Still in chapter 3. Verse 6. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit from it and ate, and gave some to her husband, and he ate. She listened to the devil. The devil was using the snake's body. And she thought about what he said, and she said, ah, yes. And she looked at the fruit, and wow. So she desired the fruit. And part of the word for desire is you see that? This is a woman and two trees. Chichi guagua, huh? And her attention is being directed to one of these trees. Amazing, huh? It's not a man underneath, that's a woman. It's not saying that women are not good. We don't talk about that. It's just that this whole word for desire traces right back to Genesis chapter 3. So she ate, and Adam also. Now look at verse 7. In verse 7 it says, this is still chapter 3, the eyes of both of them were open, they knew they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They were naked, suddenly. And the Chinese word for naked or uncovered is very interestingly written. You have a person, but next to the person is what? Or you could have a body. Or you could have clothing. Shishan loti. Okay? Why fruit? Where did they get the leaves, according to verse 7? They got the leaves from a fig tree. Gananshu, huh? And the fig tree has fruit. So here is this man standing there, wah, no clothes. Ah, there's a tree. And he goes over and stands beside the tree to get some leaves to cover his body, and the leaves become clothing. Ifuri. You see that? So in each of these cases that refers to nakedness, it all fits in with the fig tree. Now, of course, there's a problem if you use leaves to make clothes. Right? At first, very nice. What happens to a leaf once you take it off the tree? It becomes dry. And then you sit down, and when you stand up, then you're back to this again. Yeah. So the clothing was man-made, but no good. We'll come back to that. All right, verse 19. We're still in chapter 3. In verse 17, he's speaking to Adam, the man, not the woman. And he tells him what will happen because he has disobeyed. So we get down to verse 19. He says, in the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you will return to the ground. You were taken out of it. You will go back to it. Verse 17, he says to Adam, because you listened to the voice of your wife, ate of the tree, which I told you not to, cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Notice verse 18. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth, and you shall eat the herbs of the field. Now he says you're going to get your food by perspiring. You're going to have to work hard. And he's talking to whom? The man or the woman? The man. So what is the character for man? You have a field and strength. The man must put forth strength in the field if he's going to eat. Doesn't say the woman's going to be out there in the field, but the man. And this means what? Nobody recognize that? Man, yes. Not woman, man. So, you know, you talked about the tzatzua, huh? Yeah, you put this on the one for the men. Yeah, the shishojen, the washroom. You put this on it for the man. If a woman sees that, she knows, don't go in there. Because that's for men. But you see how it's made. Field and strength. The man is to be out in the field, working hard to get his food. Chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Still in chapter 3. In verse 8, the man and the woman hear the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And what do? It says, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. They're hiding. So, if we want to talk about hiding, we have a body and this. In English, you could say is. The body is the tree, you know. Are you there? No, it's not me, it's a tree. See? The body is a tree. The man is hiding. 躲, huh? 躲避, huh? 躲避. Yeah, you want to you get away from. Get behind the tree. So in verse 9, God calls. He says, Adam, where are you? He's calling him. You know how the Chinese do it? Like this. If the American does this, you don't go to him, you go away from him. Because this is zaijian, or goodbye for the American. But for the Chinese, it's like this. You'll have to forgive us Americans. Sometimes we call people like this. Ayo. That's how you call a dog, huh? So always when you're... Yeah. 请你来啊. Okay, so what is the character for come? Right? You have a tree and two people hiding behind it. The man and his wife hiding behind the tree. And God is saying, come out, Adam. Now I know that there are other possible interpretations. That is, some people could say, well, this really means something else. Okay, whoso way. It doesn't matter. Because even if it does mean something else, it still fits with the meaning here. So regardless of what the meaning is, when it fits, it becomes very strange, very unusual. He called them to come out, and he wanted to take care of them. We'll come back to that in a moment. Just briefly, go to chapter 7 and verse 7. Chapter 7 and verse 7. Just one verse here. The background is this. This is many years after the creation of Adam and Eve. Centuries. During this time, man has become very evil. So evil that God says, I'm finished with you. I'm going to wipe out, destroy everyone except one family. And the man's name was Noah. Noah was a righteous man. God said, Noah, build a ship, a big ship, and you and your wife, your sons and their wives, and the animals get on the ship, and then I'm going to send lots of water, lots of rain, and you're the only one that's going to be left. All right, here in verse 7, it tells us that Noah and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. So we're talking about them getting on this ship or boat. And what is the word for ship or boat? Well, you have the joke, but what goes beside it? Remember? Bako. 8 miles. Okay. Noah, his wife, 3 sons, and their wives. How many? Any mathematicians here? Yeah. 8. Strange, huh? Chichi guaguai, huh? Yeah. Taien omoshiroi desu, huh? Is that right? Yeah. Very strange. The word for boat or ship says 8 mouths, 8 people. That's exactly how many people. Okay? We have to go back to... we'll go forward to chapter 11, because I told you I would tell you why the Chinese history and the Bible history is the same. We go to chapter 11. Verse 1. Still in Genesis. He says, the whole earth was one language, one speech. That's all. Be very simple. You know, if today everybody spoke the same language, you want to go to France and study there? Fine. Just go over and speak English, huh? Or you go to China, speak English. Or if the universal language was Chinese, everybody would speak Chinese. But we don't. We speak different languages. At this time, they were all speaking the same language. Verse 2. They came to this place, and I'm reading, I'm what we call paraphrasing. I'm not going to read every word. I'll just get the takai, the main idea. They came to a plain in Shinar, stayed there. Verse 3. They said, let's make brick, burn them. They had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said in verse 4, let's build a tower whose top may reach to heaven, make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad. Verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the men built. Verse 7, we're still in chapter 11, verse 7. The God is speaking. He says, let's go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. They were all speaking one language. So you can see them building, and the man says, please give me the hammer. Okay, takes the hammer. But suddenly he says, hey, panagachui zagiwa, huh? Arewa dami dasne. And the language changes. No communication. And then what? Then those who spoke the same language gathered together and went in different directions. Some people began speaking Chinese. Where did they go? To China. Amazing. Yes. It took them a while to get there, but they got over there. So they all had the same history up to this point, right? Everything was the same up to this point, up to chapter 11. Then, beginning here, their histories became different. Now, when the Huangdi, the Yellow Emperor, had Zhang Jie, this man, develop a written language, the man used the what we call oral history and remembered, oh yes, there was a man made from dust. Yeah, okay, that looks like this. And so everything that he developed that he could use this history with, he did, and here it is. And it tells the same story because it is the same story. Some people might think, how would they remember after so many years? Have any of you ever heard of a book called Roots? You know the book? Okay. Written by a man named Alex Haley. He is a black American, and he decided he would trace his history. So he went back to Africa. He found the place where his ancestors lived, and he began to put together the history. Now, where his ancestors lived, they didn't write down history. They just told it. But you say, well, that's kind of, could be very easily misunderstood or forgotten. But what they do is they choose three young men who will be the historians. And the older men tell them the history, one point at a time. They choose three in case one of them dies or is hurt. And they only tell them new history or new points of history when they can say all of what they've been told already. So they have to keep reviewing this over and over and over, and they get the details exactly. And that's how they have an accurate history. Well, the Chinese are at least that smart, so they could do the same thing. And here it is coming out in a written language. All right, now we go back to chapter 3 because we have a problem. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 21. Remember, the first clothing the man made was made from what? Fig leaves. And it was great for the first hour. But after that, no good. So, in verse 21 it says, for Adam and his wife the Lord made coats of what? Skins. And clothe them or dress them. Interesting word in the Chinese language for first. Let's see. Is that right? What does it mean? Beginning. But notice what it is. Clothing. And a knife. Why is a knife and clothing beginning? Because the first clothing, you had to take the skin off the animal. And you know, you use a knife and take it off. Choo. It's the beginning. Amazing, huh? So he clothed them. He put clothes on them. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that in the Bible, nothing is done by God by accident. All of it fits together. And in the Old Testament, where we're reading now, what he was doing was giving them images of what he was going to do later. He was drawing pictures for them so that later, when they looked back, they would see, oh yes, this means that, and tie the two together. Here's how we see this. Now we go to the New Testament. the fourth book in the New Testament, the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'll give you a page number here in a minute. Or someone give us a page number. John chapter 1 and verse 29. 129. Page 94 in this Bible. So I don't know what it is in yours, but it'd be pretty close. 1097, all right? Thank you. 1097. John chapter 1 and verse 29. John, a man named John, is out and he sees a man named Jesus walking along. And he points to the man Jesus, and this is what he says about him. Chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Sometimes we use animal names for people. But you have to be very careful. I can call a lady a chick, which is short for chicken, but I cannot call her an old hen. That's a no-no. So we use sometimes animal names like that. We say, this fellow is really foxy, like a fox. Jesus was called a lamb. Why? There is his job description in verse 29. He was going to take away the sin of the world. All right? It's interesting to note that if you're going to take away sin, or if you take away sin, then you become, the English word is righteous. And the Chinese word is like this. And here's the lamb, and what's under the lamb? Yeah, I or me. I under the lamb means righteousness. So when Jesus was called the Lamb of God, it was because his purpose was to make me and you and anyone else righteous, to take away our sin. But just as in Genesis, when God took the skin off the animal, what happened to the animal? Say lialo, huh? The animal died. For Jesus to take away my sin, he had to die. And that's what the cross means. See, you have a problem of God and man separated by sin. And if we can get rid of this sin, then we will have a way to God. And this is how God did it. And we'll talk more about that this afternoon. If you want to find this word with this meaning, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. We have a page, this is page 186 in this Bible. 1200.
1203,
thanks John. Page 1203, it says that God made Christ, who had no sin, to become sin for us. And he did that, of course, on the cross. Why? The rest of the verse says, so that we could become this, the righteousness of God in Christ. So it all fits together, doesn't it? If I want to be in touch with God, it's by becoming righteous. How do I become righteous? I place myself under the covering of Jesus Christ. And there it is, all in the Chinese language. That's as far as we'll go now. If you want to chat sometime afterwards with me, I'd be happy to, and we can talk about this.